Message and data rates may apply. Consult a doctor prior to use.
Wow, you look amazing. What have you been doing?
I'm sure you've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and the other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, I found this great company called Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe medications like Ozempic and Wegovy and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive, all 100% online.
I can get GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% less and do it all online? No doctor's office or pharmacy?
Yes, Zelthy can provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s. But for 80 to 90% less and ship directly to your door.
How do I get started with Zelthy?
Call #250 with the word care to get started today with Zelthy. Get the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less and 100% online. Don't wait. Call #250 with the word care right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Call #250 with the word care. That's #250 with the word care. #250 and care.
The next story was inspired by an episode on SpongeBob called Club SpongeBob, also known as the Magic Conch episode. In the episode, SpongeBob, Patrick, and Squidward get flung into a kelp forest, where they're ultimately left stranded. SpongeBob and Patrick depend their lives on the magic conch shell, as Squidward refuses to do such a thing. In return, SpongeBob and Patrick get rewarded with food and necessary survival accessories, while Squidward is left with nothing. As random Scavenger then appears towards the end of the show and professes his allegiance to the magic conch, which ultimately convinces Squidward to join them. We decided to create a sequel based on theories online, and of course, with a dark twist. Here's what it looked like.
24 hours later.
It's been 24 hours since I gave in to this insanity, and these buffoons are still just sitting there. I haven't had a bite to eat in so long. I can't even remember. My once sophisticated thoughts are being reduced to savagery with every passing second. The conch said to wait, but what are we waiting for? Starvation? For a wild animal to come turn us into Krabby Patties? Barnacles! That crabs must have set all of this up. I swear, if I make it out of this alive, I'll kill him. No. Oh, Neptune, what's happening to me? I can't take this anymore. Come on, Squiddy, keep it together. This is all because of that stupid conch. I can't believe those morons got me sitting here waiting to get orders from a damn seashell. All hail the magic conch. The conch. The magic conch. Enough already, SpongeBob! Tell them to give us some food before we all starve to death!
Tell who, Squidward?
Whoever you're talking to with that stupid conch!
Squidward! I thought you knew better than to insult the magic conch.
SpongeBob, you moron! There's no such thing as magic! This thing is just a radio or something!
I snatched the conch with my tentacle and aggressively smashed it to the ground while yelling.
Listen here, whoever you are! I've got you all figured out, so don't try and play dumb with me! Food just doesn't fall from the sky, and people don't just show up in the middle of nowhere! I know somebody's responsible for all this, and I know it's you, so you better just help me before I call the cops! Do you understand?
No.
Ah! I'm gonna ship you back to Walmart, you stupid toy!
I threw the conch on the ground once more and began stomping on it with vicious intent.
Get him!
All three conch worshippers charged at me as Patrick shoved me with great force, sending me flying and tumbling along the ground before regaining my footing. SpongeBob then grabs a hold of the conch and stands behind the other two worshippers in a protective huddle while saying,
"Looks like we've got ourselves a heathen, boys. We must protect the magic conch."
All hail the magic conch! All hail the magic conch! All hail the magic conch!
Shut the hell up!
The chanting stopped as they eyed me with contempt.
Let me at him, SpongeBob.
I want a piece of that banana face.
Hold on, Patrick. We must do as the magic conch bids. Oh, magic conch, can we take care of Squidward for good?
Yes.
You heard the magic conch, boys. Get him!
I quickly grabbed the scavenger's machete from the ground and got to a defensive stance, halting the zealot's charge while yelling,
"Stay back!"
The trio inched forward as I began to backpedal, saying,
"I said stay back! Don't make me use this!"
The trio continued to inch forward heedlessly. Concerned, I turned tail and sprinted into the chaotic maze of the kelp forest as the trio chased me.
"I gotta get away from these freaks! Don't stop, Squiddy. You'll find civilization eventually. Just keep going. I got a head start, so I just need to keep the distance."
The further I ran into the forest, the denser the kelp leaves became as they hit me in the face. I constantly tripped on the foliage, which was greatly compromising my stamina.
"Curse this kelp! I'm so tired. I don't think they can see me. I have to hide and catch my breath."
I immediately halted and crouched within the dense foliage, listening for the assailants. Those imbeciles will never be able to find me. Eventually, they'll give up, right?
Let's split up and find him.
Come out, wherever you are.
You can't hide forever, Squidward.
The magic conch knows all, Squidward. It even knows where you're hiding, right now.
I became increasingly nervous as the voices started closing in from several directions.
Oh, barnacles, they're getting closer. They'll find me eventually. And if I keep running, I'll pass out from exhaustion. I don't care. No matter what happens, I am not going out like this. Not to them.
Magic Conch, is Sausage Face in this direction?
Yes.
Call him by his name. The conch might think you're talking about what's in my pants.
Got it, Conehead. Magic Conch, is Squidward close?
Yes.
I found you, Squidward!
Out of nowhere, my sudden fight or flight reaction caused me to slash him into two halves.
I'm sorry, SpongeBob, but you brought this upon yourself. This all could have been avoided.
Die, Squidward!
Patrick suddenly came swooshing from the abyss and charged at me. I quickly maneuvered to the side as he smashed into a thick stalk of kelp head first, disorienting himself.
You're such a fool, Patrick. I have to admit, I've dreamt of this day.
I started gaining more momentum to escape this hellish maze, but knew there was one more conch worshiper to take out. That's when the scavenger made his presence known as he plowed through the kelp leaves and darted for the conch, asking it,
"Oh, magic conch, will I defeat the heathen?"
"No."
But I have to try. I must not accept defeat."
"I wouldn't have it any other way." It feels like I haven't eaten in over a decade, which left me no other choice than to feast on the corpses of the fallen assassins.
Finally, something to eat. These chumps will feed me for weeks. I should have done this days ago.
I'll never forget the disgusting texture of eating a sponge. I did my best to convince myself that I was eating nothing more than sponge cake. The other two were just as disgusting, yet easier to consume. I locked eyes on the conch as I said to myself, "Nothing's changed. I can't stay here." I picked up the conch and asked it, "All this over such a silly little thing. Will you help me find a way home?"
"No."
"Fine, I'll just have to prove you wrong."
I carried the machete and conch and made my way into the thick kelp of the forest. Emerging from the forest as a weathered and savage shell of my former self, I remember seeing Bikini Bottom utterly changed.
"At long last, I finally made it home." "Wait a second. Something's wrong. Everything's different. It's all completely changed. How long have I been gone? Is anyone I know still alive?"
As I made my way down, I remember seeing Sandy's dome glittering in the distance.
"Her, she must still be there. She's the only one who can help me now."
I entered the airlock and put on a glass helmet. The water eventually drained as I entered the dome. That's when I saw Sandy sitting at the picnic table with the most sadistic smile on her face.
"Your arrival has been foretold, Mr. Tentacles. State your business."
"I've been gone for so long. All I ask is for some food."
"And why should I help a heathen such as yourself?"
"Wait,
No, not you too!
That's right, Squidward. I too believe in the power of the magic conch. Now, where is it?
You mean this stupid thing? The thing that didn't help me at all? I made it out of the damn forest on my own! That makes me more powerful than it! And I don't need this stupid thing!
I threw the conch to the other side of the dome, as the heathen took that as a sign of aggression. She immediately grabbed a hold of my helmet and lifted it off my head, causing me to instantly suffocate. Sandy then picked up the conch and asked it,
"Oh, magic conch, will this heathen perish before my eyes?" "Yes."
The next story was inspired by one of the most bizarre cases on the internet. The mugshot below showcases a man as the real-life Squidward, a music teacher now serving 50 years to life in prison for his heinous crimes. We couldn't make a Squidward video without including such a thing. Here's a dramatized version of the alleged occurrence. Growing up with SpongeBob on the TV my whole life, I was exposed to clarinet playing at an early age. Now, I know that may not be what most people fixate on while watching the show, but the character of Squidward imparted some things onto me that definitely affected the trajectory of my life, as strange as it sounds. For as long as I can remember, I've had dreams of playing the clarinet and mastering it after many years, becoming a world-famous maestro, and one day getting the opportunity to play my part in a symphony along with an orchestra full of talented musicians. Those were the dreams that brought me to take music classes, where I did my best to excel in my craft and put in the extra effort whenever I could. I would spend my lunches in the band room so I could practice for a few extra minutes after eating, and at the end of the day, I would take my clarinet home where I could squeeze in a couple more hours. Of course, in the classes themselves, I was also an exemplary student. One year, I was under the tutelage of a certain instructor that, for obvious reasons, I had an exceptional relationship with. Everything about him was strikingly similar to my favorite cartoon character, Squidward Tentacles. Beyond just the bald head and the huge nose and the extensive wardrobe of identical brown polo shirts, his voice was just as uniquely nasally and rife with personality.
"All right, class, let's all make sure that we're fingering in A minor for the second movement."
But above all, that teacher shared a passion for the clarinet, which I believe is the reason he began to pay closer attention to me. Even out of those he invited to his extracurricular sessions of more rigorous and challenging practice, it was clear he saw the greatest potential in me. For instance, there was this one evening when the after-school session went on much later than usual. There were only half a dozen pupils in the class, but the teacher was so committed to helping us all do the best we could that we had been there for hours. I was the only one without a ride, so I packed up my clarinet and headed for the bus stop. That's when a car pulled up next to the curb right by me, and I realized it was my music teacher.
"Hey, clarinet boy, you wouldn't want to be caught in this dump after dark, would you?"
I don't know. The bus should be here soon."
"But why ride that dirty old bus when you can ride in luxury with me?"
"It's not that bad, sir."
"Oh yeah, it's not that bad, eh?" "Get in the car or I'm calling your mom!"
Okay. I felt a little weird getting into my teacher's car, but I spent enough time with him that he seemed trustworthy. However, I was pretty susceptible to peer pressure at the time. Otherwise, I'm sure I would have just waited for the bus. But I was already in, so I told him my address and he nodded. That made me feel a little more comfortable, enough so to make a little small talk. Well, I was comfortable until I realized we missed the turn that led to my house. I think that was our turn.
Yeah. I need to go to my house first.
Wait, why?
Look at my nose! I have to take a leak, all right?
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to snap at you. I'll let you come inside for some one-on-one lessons to make it up to you.
I choked up for a second. I was frankly rather freaked out that he wanted to let me inside his house, but I understood he meant it for an apologetic gesture, and I really didn't want to disrespect him. I guess so. Yes, thank you. A few minutes later, we pulled up into his driveway. He had a remote control button on his visor that he clicked to reveal the garage inside his house. We rolled in and he clicked the button again, commanding the door to slide shut behind us. In that moment, I realized I was essentially trapped.
Play the clarinet.
What?
I said, play the clarinet.
But why?
Play it! Play the clarinet now! Play the freaking clarinet!
Pushing him away from me and jumping out of the car. I didn't have time to figure out how to open the garage door, so I bolted through the back door into the house, thinking I'd be able to jump out of the window from there. But right away, I saw his paintings. Oh God, his paintings. In a way, they looked a lot like Squidward's paintings, but despite that, they were all unmistakably portraits of me, and they were everywhere, framed up on the walls and propped up against everything in the house. He was more obsessed with me than I would have ever imagined, but I realized I didn't have time to think about that, and I panicked, running in the first room I saw and locking the door behind me. Unfortunately, I'd chosen the room with awful luck. Somehow, it had to be the one room with no windows. I was completely trapped. I huddled in the corner and listened to what happened on the other side of the wall. My teacher was playing the clarinet, and he was playing it beautifully, but I could hear the music moving around while he searched for me. I was almost relaxed by the song when I heard him smash something in rage. Then he threw something else, and it hit the wall on the other side of me. I yelped in shock. I knew I had just revealed myself. He was laughing.
Won't you come out? I'll teach you a secret master technique.
Leave me alone or I'm calling the cops!
Fine, I'll just come to you then.
He began to beat down the door with the clarinet. I screamed for help, but it wasn't long before his clarinet was through the flimsy particle board.
Here, Squiddy!
The next story was inspired by the legendary tale of Squidward's nose. There are many theories online speculating why he would have such a disproportionate entity on his face compared to the other features on his body. We decided to showcase our theory with a slight twist that may leave some of you noisy spectators baffled. Hopefully nobody knows what we're about to... Enough with the puns. Let's get to the story.
Another day in Bikini Bottom. Another day of suffering in my eternal misery. Having these eyes fills me with so much envy when I'm forced to see each and every other person in this accursed city getting to live their normal, happy lives. I don't even remember what it feels like to smile, but I watch these people wearing joyous faces just for being alive. That is, they smile until they see me. They look at me with their hearts filled with disgust. They don't understand me. They just see my face and think, there's Squidward, the hideous, angry grump of Bikini Bottom. And with each day that passes, the more that becomes true. There's so much pent-up contempt and distress inside me, to the point that I can no longer enjoy any of the things that used to bring joy into my life. I used to love taking hot baths late at night, under the light of moon while it was highest in the sky. But now I'm afraid to even go into the bathroom. I'm afraid I might accidentally look into the mirror and be reminded of it. I used to relax in front of the TV, watching Kelpie G play smooth jazz all night. But now whenever I look at the screen, all I can see is my own dark reflection and that stupid thing hovering under my peripheral line of sight. I keep all my old self-portraits around the house in the hopes that it will help me feel better. Of course, I can never hope to paint another one ever again. I'm far too ashamed of the way I look now. And all those paintings do is bring into focus just how horrible my life is compared to the way it used to be. I used to be so handsome. When I talked to women, they would look me in the eyes and actually listen to me. But now, all they look at is that
Aang. I can't have a conversation without anyone giving me direct eye contact anymore. I haven't been with a woman in so long. They just can't get past my horrible deformity. I can't even leave the house without hearing the sound of children laughing at the way that I look. It's not like I blame them. If I were them, I'd laugh at me too. I'm ridiculous. Not even the clarinet treats me well anymore. Believe me, I've tried to play it almost every day since then, but the notes I once played just don't hit the same. My favorite hobby, ruined like everything else in my life. I'm not sure I have much reason to keep pursuing my passions anymore. No matter what I do, I just can't seem to see past the grotesque reflection of my new hideous reality. It's like I'm stuck in some horrible nightmare that I can't wake up from. Sometimes I wonder if I just removed it, somehow it would fix everything. Maybe, just maybe, just one quick incision in the hands of a doctor will make everything better. But unfortunately, I cannot afford such things as I make less than minimum wage working for the cheapest boss in all of Bikini Bottom. But I'm too much of a coward, aren't I? Isn't that the lesson I'm supposed to be learning? Isn't that the mistake I made on that fateful day? I'm not sure, but I can't stop thinking about it. The day that my life was ruined forever. It started off like any normal day. I woke up in the morning and forced myself to go to work at the Krusty Krab. Of course, my life wasn't perfect back then either. I still had to deal with SpongeBob.
Hey, Squidward, you know what's scarier than a pumpkin?
What, SpongeBob?
A bigger pumpkin.
Die! I really need to drop my resume off at the chump bucket.
But Squidward, wouldn't you miss the Krusty Krab camaraderie?
No.
Where are you going, Squiddy?
None of your business, SpongeBob! Now leave me alone or I'm calling Mr. Krabs and telling him you're harassing me! I walked into the stall and closed the door, trying to get away from that freak. I started taking a leak, but then spotted a bit of graffiti reading, "The Flying Dutchman smells good." I couldn't help but find this amusing, so I crossed out the good and altered the graffiti so that it read, "The Flying Dutchman smells." I must have been a comedian in my past life.
Ah! Oh, I'm the Flying Dutchman, and I shall eternally punish those who smear my name.
But I swear, I didn't mean to. I didn't know you were real.
Liar! Admit your misdeeds, or face the consequences, ye measly mortal.
But it's just a bit of bathroom stall graffiti. It doesn't mean anything. You're bigger than that, aren't you?
You are going to regret saying that nonsense, landlubber. Using my mystical otherworldly powers, I'll show you what's bigger than insulting me name. I doom you to suffer all ye remaining mortal life.
Oh, Neptune, where is it? Where is it? No, please, no!
I slowly gathered myself out of the stall and approached the mirror. That's when I knew my life was never going to be the same again, as I laid eyes upon that thing now transposed on my face.
No!
It all happened so fast. I replayed in my head constantly, so many times every single day. My agony never ends. It never gets easier. Actually, it gets worse. It's been 10 years since that day. I had hoped that I could have gotten used to this condition of mine, but that's proven impossible. The Flying Dutchman is a cruel spirit. He didn't just curse me with his face. He made sure that my suffering would increase with each day that I survived. After a few years, I started to notice this abhorrent appendage on my face growing. Every day, it became larger and heavier. It's gotten to the point that it's so bulbous that I'm forced to drag it around everywhere I go. I now have a hunch in my back that I can't get rid of. I can barely fit through my door to get outside. I don't even bother wearing pants anymore. There's literally no point. And now, a few days ago, I think I've reached my wit's end. Mr. Krabs fired me from the Krusty Krab. Not that I ever enjoyed that job, but now without it, it's only a matter of time before my meager savings run out. At that point, I won't be able to pay my mortgage, and sooner or later, the bank will come to evict me from my home. I can't allow myself to reach that future, living in a box and begging for change. With this hideous face of mine, people will only go out of their way to step on me and not give me change to survive. I know that I won't make it out there on the streets. It's like a tumor that I have to live with for the rest of my life. Maybe I'm better off living in rock bottom. At least I'll know I have the looks to fit in.
I think that was our turn.
Yeah. I need to go to my house first.
Wait, why?
Look at my nose! I have to take a leak, alright?
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to snap at you. I'll let you come inside for some one-on-one lessons to make it up to you.